You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to the Manchester United Redcast. My name's Edward Augustus Matthew Christopher Nessa, and it's my absolute pleasure to say that we have the accountant, otherwise known as Dave Collins, back with us, looking like me. It's supposed to be the greatest form of flattery. Same hat as me, same beard as me.
A little bit taller.
Just a little bit taller, a little bit thinner. Where you been, man?
I went into hiding. I couldn't cope with it anymore. I just had to go and hide in. I got married.
You didn't? Did you get married to him?
Yeah, yeah.
You got married? You didn't invite me, you toe rag.
I was worried because you would have been the only black person there, and I think you would have scared the old
people. Hold on a minute. I invited you out to the depths.
When?
I invited you out to the depths of Brixton, otherwise known as Porky's Wine Bar, where you were the only white person.
I know.
There.
It was good.
See, so I had your back, and you didn't have mine.
You didn't have my back because I remember saying goodbye to you, and you told me to do one because I think your head was deep in some pair of breasts.
I don't know what
but
you're talking about.
It might have been someone else, so I can't
remember.
I have no idea
what you're talking
about. That was
pre-MBE. Listen, lovely to have you back, mate.
It's good to be here. It really is.
Congratulations on the wedding. Appreciate it very much, and my deepest commiserations.
Thank you. I feel every day the pain.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got a heart attack. I mean, you know the pain in the arm? It's just come.
Well, the pain is what lots of us are feeling in regards to Jose Mourinho, because it's almost better that we kind of lost to Newcastle and almost better that we kind of lost to Chelsea, because now we don't know what the morale is like. Now we don't know what the players feel. Why does it take for Manchester United to go behind, to actually start to attack and play the type of football that we know them to? Just give me your overview and then we'll break it down.
Well, I haven't been here for so long, but I think... I'm with you on certain parts. I don't understand what we're doing, what the direction is. You don't want to be in a situation where, as you say, our backs are against it, and suddenly we seem to be released from the handcuffs and be able to play the football we have played. I mean, the defence is all over the place. It was shocking against Newcastle, and we came through and won that game. Chelsea, I have to be honest, I don't know what you guys said on a podcast last week, but I didn't think we'd get a result there at all.
No,
I mean, I haven't got the stats in front of me, but I'm pretty certain we've won once there in the last 15 games or something like that.
It's not a great place for us.
So I just thought, well, we're going to get tonked. And the first half, it was pretty much the same as it always is. You pretty much know that United are not going to score a goal in the first half. You know, it's never going to happen. But again, I don't know what happened at halftime. People will turn around and say, well, Jose's halftime talk must have been amazing.
Why didn't he try doing it at the beginning of the game?
Well, that is the issue, isn't it? I mean, I'm fed up with these players. Ashley Young's come out today and said, we need to transfer what we're doing in the last 20 minutes or the 60 minutes of a game and start from the beginning. And that is what's not been happening. And my question would be, what why is that not happening? Why can't this team motivate themselves properly? Why are they going out to not play like that? Is the manager telling them not to play like that? Or are they scared? Is
can,
the defence all over the place?
Can I ask a different kind of question?
Yep.
If you look at Manchester United, just based upon the way they play, mm-hmm. who are the big characters in that team?
Well, that's the problem. And I think that's been a problem for a while. I think the big character, if you're going to get into a bigger conversation, has gone out of football now. I think you don't really have them anymore. I hate harking back to players who have gone by.
Yeah, but we got to do it from but the like, 11 or the 14 there. Yeah. And if you're looking at one, apart from Paul Pogba, I can't see a big character in
no,
that team.
No, I think there's no one that you're who you can think is going to look be on that pitch and look around at each other and say, right, come on, let's do this. Doesn't seem to be anyone. And I don't know whether the players of this generation, they've changed. They're not able to speak up and stand out. I think a lot of players now are robots.
I don't know. You don't think Van Dijk has pulled that back four of Liverpool together? You don't think that John Terry would have pulled the back four of Chelsea together? You don't. There are commanding players.
Yeah,
still in there.
But I think the game's changed. I think Rooney said the other day in an interview that there was five players in the United dressing room that were in control of that dressing room. It was him, Vidic, Rio Ferdinand, a couple of others, and they did the work and talking for the manager. I don't think that happens anymore. I think a lot of younger players are possibly, when they come through that kind of system as young players, they don't really
but you
have
can't
a voice.
Do it. You can't do it in Man United because there's nobody in there. Who in there? Matic, no. maybe. No. Who in there? De Gea, Matic. Who in there? Oh, and a forward line, Lukaku. Those are the only three who are guaranteed, and maybe Pogba, to play. Nobody else is guaranteed
yeah,
to play.
Yeah, that's and the back four is forever changing.
There you go.
He's apart from he's starting to play Shaw now. I'm a bit iffy about the Shaw thing because his contract was running out at the end of this season, and suddenly he starts playing.
Like Martial.
Yeah. Ashley Young, he seems to always put, when he plays,
Puts in a shit. Get man of the match performance.
Yeah.
But he should be a utility player. Yeah.
Yeah, his ear voice. I mean,
imagine he would be. I mean, he seems to be. Remember Garth Crooks? You know, he always seemed. If there's a problem, then Ashley Young seems to be running up and be part of it in some way, shape, or form. A lot of mouth.
Yeah, a lot of mouth. And, you know, he was a captain the other day, wasn't he?
Yep.
I think he did a good job. I think he was sterling. But you're absolutely right. We don't have any characters. We've got a big team. They're full of monsters, but none of them really are characters. And you never see anyone. You don't think that anyone's going to be out there and going to fight and put it in and tell someone they're not doing something
right. Is that because the manager's too big of a character, that his ego means that he has to dominate everything? Because you get who's playing with a smile? I saw Martial smile when he came up.
That was a shocker. That was more shocking.
He can actually smile.
That was more shocking than getting two goals
in
Chelsea.
Yeah, for me it was. Yeah. I thought it was just me.
But then isn't Guardiola a big character? He's a massive character, a big ball of energy, but he's got big characters playing in his team as well.
Company would stand up to him. Exactly. Aguero would stand up to him. You get the feeling that there is personality. Fernandinho, you see personality in the team. You see people who are ready to take control of their area of the pitch.
Are you saying that you feel that the players don't want to stand up to Mourinho? Is that what you're saying? That they feel that he's squashed their personalities and he's saying, this is what you do, you play it this way, otherwise you're not in the team.
When he was in Spain, one of the characters you said over there, Mourinho is anti-football. Mm. And it took me a long time to actually understand what he thought. It wasn't a personal attack. Mm. But what I was looking forward to in that team, because I'm part of a WhatsApp group and you have to predict your matches.
Yeah.
And I said, a lot will depend on if Herrera starts. Because if he starts, you know he's going to try and man mark Hazard, right? And to kill the game, to try and get a draw. Now, you know they beat us, 4-0, 4-1, early Pedro goal, and we were out of the game, and he got embarrassed, and he did not like that at all, said that Conte lacked class.
Yeah.
And that's when he started to get in it. Talking of class, Sarri's got a lot of class. He's gone up in my estimation.
Yeah, I think he's come into the league. I think the one thing that I think Conte had him too much of a massive ego, and, you know, jumping into the crowd, all that kind of shenanigans. I never really liked him, his hysteria running up and down the line. Sarri's a breath of fresh air for Chelsea.
He's never won anything.
Yeah,
won anything.
And I think that's probably why he is the person he is, and why he was such a gentleman on the line then, and why he diffused his whole situation.
Vice versa, you think Mourinho would have acted like that?
No, I don't think so.
No, he's not got that class.
No.
He's not got... It's so classy the way they did with it.
Yeah, it was classy, the whole thing. I mean, this guy, like, this second assistant, like, running down from the back of the stand, it wasn't even a thing. Well, it's ridiculous.
No,
that.
It isn't. Do you not remember...
He's a nobody. He's a minion in that club.
It doesn't matter. Does that mean that minions can't enjoy themselves? Yeah, I'm a minion. I'm standing in the crowd. There are 50,000 minions in there, Dave.
Yeah,
and we shout and chant when our team win.
Within a team framework, we're on two teams. You can't be running in front of someone's face twice and goading
him. Well, he's got to run past him to go back. Once he's run out...
When he's run out, goaded him, and as he's gone back, he should have just walked past and
done anything. So was Mourinho right to react the way he did?
I think in that moment, when it was 97 minutes, by the way, where that 7 minutes come from, I'll just say this before I...
we'll come back to that. I promise you we'll come back to that.
In that moment where he's got this chance of winning his first game at Chelsea, and it's a big deal for him to do
that. He does not have a right to... That's like saying, if I spat in your face on a football pitch and you punch me... Well, how is it different, Dave?
Listen, he's been... That was pretty serious bit of goading going on there.
He ran past him.
Yeah, but he did make a gesture and shouted at him. So, yeah, you could say, like, come on, there was no necessary... What was worse, that or when he's gesturing the three fingers afterwards when he's getting told to F
no,
off.
No, I don't. He's not going to be charged.
No, he hasn't been charged.
No, and we know that, you know, this assistant will be charged. My point is that I remember Manchester United and this guy from Porto running up and down the line with his raincoat on, sliding up and down a thing. Mm. That if we're talking about behaviour, I remember the way he treated that doctor Hazard incident.
When he was in Madrid, poked the eye of the...
When he provoked Arsene Wenger. I've seen him do stuff.
Listen, I'm on your side on that. I mean, he can't... There's no
Although
way
he did defend the guy, I must say.
He can't defend the indefensible. He's done it all before, and he did say that he's made mistakes. We can say
Give him that.
Yeah, I think you're right, but it's difficult. I mean, if you look back, Ferguson's made he's had untold scuffles and skirmishes on the touchline. It's a very, very passionate moment in a game. 97 minutes, you think you won the game, you lose it in the last second, someone runs past you. It's just one of those emotive things, isn't it? It'd be much better for a Manchester United manager to sit there and just let this idiot go past him, this, like we said, a minion, a nobody, go past him and do it, and then they will deal with it afterwards.
He took Martial and Rashford off, and who did he put on? It's this defensive minded thing, and how long did it take for Rashford to go off?
I was watching that game and I was sitting with someone and I said,
the boy
sort this substitutes out. This is taking too long. This is going to come back and bite us on the arse at the end of the game, and it bloody did. It took too long, faffing around. He didn't need to take both of them off. He could have kept Martial on. He was on fire, and he's been playing really well. He should have kept him on. I could agree one, but like, to bring on Pereira, who gave the ball away for a free kick that was putting more pressure on us, it was ridiculous, really, and it wasted time trying to protect a lead. We were all, you know, there was no need
and
for
it. And that's the point. He's a pragmatist. Football is not about pragmatism. Football is a game of heart, soul. It's tribalism. And when you bring, don't get me wrong, he has won a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But when now I look at these new guys come, he looks, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's just I don't like him. I don't like people who would do what he did to that doctor. I don't like people who never admit that they're wrong. I don't like people who put themselves ahead of and make themselves bigger than anything else. But you do get the feeling with Klopp, with Guardiola, with those, even with what's happening with Emery at Arsenal, that this is the new breed. They buy into the philosophy, they work with the players, and they get the best out of them.
Do you think that time or new methods have passed him by? You know, saying he's a dinosaur, basically. I mean, I don't like that word dinosaur, because he was a great manager, and in his time, he won a hell of a lot of trophies. Okay, let's say, because you talk about Klopp, especially Klopp, and a lot of people talk about Pochettino. In the time that Klopp's been at Liverpool, he's not won anything, but Mourinho's won two trophies since he's been at United, got to an FA Cup final. It was a dire affair, but he got there. He got us from outside the league.
I agree.
So all of that...
Okay, so Tottenham, Man United and Liverpool. Which one has the least out of those three potential for growth and development under their present manager? You can do what you want with numbers, but I can do it too. I accept he won. I was with you. We watched it. We celebrated together, Dave.
Yeah.
But if we're moving forward now, if I put Man United today with their manager, if I put Tottenham today with their manager, and if I put Liverpool today with their manager, the ones one and two are Tottenham and Liverpool, and Man United are third. You know it and I know it.
Well, you know, the thing is with Tottenham, again, he's doing a great job with what he's got, the resources he's got. So if he was at a Manchester United with more resources, would that mean he's in a better position, or would he come in and still have an idiot like Ed Woodward in charge of the club?
No, let's look at Mourinho. You're married now and you're going to be a dad, right? Let me tell you, right, you can have a really bright kid who's getting Bs, or a kid who's having to work incredibly hard to get a B. You know, you get much more pleasure out watching that kid that you have. And that's what Pochettino's doing. Man for man, they can't beat Man United. We've got the winner of the World Cup, the captain de facto in Pogba. We've got the best goalkeeper in the world. We've got a 30-goal striker in Lukaku. They came, what, second, third in the World Cup? We've got a team of winners there, mate. And But the job of a coach is to make them equal more than their individuals, and that's not what I see.
Do you think from, I mean, this is over old ground, but we haven't spoken a long time, and sorry for that, people listening, but at the start of the season when he complained about not having the right defence, and do you think that he undermined these players by basically saying, the players I've got aren't good enough, and sulked about it, and now we're still dealing with the aftermath of that now, with centre-backs that look really nervous and scared to kick a football.
Yeah, I think those conversations need to take place behind closed doors. I think that what he started doing when he was at Chelsea was, you felt that whatever John Terry did, whatever Frank Lampard did, he had their back and he'd go in and kick
off. Why do you think Mourinho talks in the press now about players, which he didn't do when he first came? Is it because he just thinks he's bigger than what he was when he first came?
I think that we all need somebody to tell us, Dave, Eddie, you're being a bit of a prat. We all need somebody. And if we haven't, you know, he's staying in the Lowry Hotel. He's not with his family. He's not with, he's number one right-hand man who he'd been working with has gone. That is, so no home, no base, no best friend to call on. It's a lonely place. And maybe people like me.
Do you think that has improved Luke Shaw, or is it a fluke that Shaw's playing better? Is it just because he's fitter now than he was? Has he had got any kudos in sort of turning around Luke Shaw from what he was? Because it is well known that Luke Shaw underperformed and wasn't a very mentally strong, in a way, as being a footballer, not like mentally as in depression or anything like that. But, you know, it was seen that he wasn't a good trainer. He didn't eat well. He wasn't really trying. And there was a lot of people said he was being bullied in public.
He was being bullied.
But do you think
that... It's awful what he did to that
kid. Do you think that he has made the difference to that player? Or
no,
do you think
to get him back to where he was when he came to Man United?
Yeah.
Be careful, you know, because what you remember is this guy who's overweight. Remember when he got that injury,
Well
he was playing, right?
Yeah, terrible.
And so, you know, he's a £30 million player who Mourinho had the opportunity to buy when he was at Chelsea and said he wasn't going to buy him. Look, we'll get back to Luke Shaw because I think it's really important. We look forward to Juventus.
Yeah.
And the homecoming of the great one, although his reputation has been solid somewhat, and what will happen against Everton. This is the Man United Redcast. You're listening to me, Eddie, and Dave, the accountant, and we'll be back after this.
The Man United Redcast is lubricated by Watney's Pale Ale. Watney's Pale Ale, the Man United Redcast, beer of the month.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
Welcome back to the Manchester United Redcast. My name's Eddie Ness. Over there we've got Dave Collins. And we're looking at managers, really, but not just Jose Mourinho and the ego, really a manager getting the best out of players. You asked me just before we went to the break about, you know, Luke Shaw. I say that Valencia liking tweets that suggesting he gets sacked, he's the club captain. Pogba being the most influential player in there. Matter he sold when he was at Chelsea and substitutes every time he gets an opportunity. The back four, almost to a man, he has denigrated and disrespected. Martial falling out with when he came back with the birth of his baby. You see Rashford play for England in a way that you do not see him play for Man United. So when I look at the players and our team, are they and do they play better under Jose Mourinho? I suggest the answer is there for you to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really difficult to argue against you and what you're saying. I mean, I have to say, from when Mourinho joined, you were never an advocate of him from the very, very beginning. So you've not jumped on any bandwagon at all. You were dead against it from day one. I was slightly different. I thought, I think I was I don't know why I stupidly thought that he would change. I was like some poor, like battered housewife or husband who thought that their partner would be, everything would be good in the end and they would change. And it hasn't. And that upsets me because I thought he would come in, he would be at the club a long time and he would buck that trend. But he's kind of kept with that trend, hasn't he? His 3 years' time, his third year into a job seems to have caused so much chaos in this huge club that he can't control, because this is a juggernaut of a club, by the way. It's not Chelsea. It's not Chelsea. A juggernaut of a club. And I don't know. The question with Luke Shaw was that we mentioned about Guardiola and Klopp and how they and Pochettino, how they are able to take a player, make a player better.
Would he play better under Pochettino? Pochettino was his manager, if my memory serves me right, at Southampton.
I mean, the answer is going to be yes. If Martial went into that team, yes.
That's why there's a reason we don't want to sell Martial to any other British team,
because
we know what it will mean. Give that boy what he wants, and how fast is he? We saw when he came in his first season.
So quick, right, pace with the ball.
That is the point. Who is playing to their full potential?
So that's well, yeah. I mean, even De Gea has gone off form a bit, and he's holding off from signing a contract. I think everyone's waiting to see what happens. The issue is that even though, I mean, there's lots of speculation about what's happening with the club from a point of view of being bought or sold, but the Glazers, that club is still working at a turnover as bigger than any club in the world. And after everything that's happened, all the talk with Mourinho before the Newcastle game and now, everyone thought his time was up. Yeah. But the results came out and it says that this club, financially, is the biggest club in the world. And whilst those people are at the top of this club, the one thing they will not do is sack Jose Mourinho. Because as far as they care, and I'm thought this is the truth of this club now, all they care about is what that bottom line is.
The cash cow.
And what they don't understand
is... Didn't take long for the accountant to come back out, did it?
I know, but the thing is, this club, the amount of money they bought it for... The amount of dividends that I think there's like about 9 of their family that take dividends out every year, above about 10, 20 million each. And on top of that, the ones on the board get a salary. That's before everything else. But they failed to realise that if they're not winning on the pitch, all of these silly sponsors, noodles and tyres, they go away. And we're going to have a problem signing players. But I don't know what the answer is. You tell me, what if they sat Mourinho, where do we go from there? Who
Zidane?
Zidane?
Zidane talks to you, you listen. One of the best players that's ever lived. Certainly makes the squad of the world team of all time. He might not make the 11, but he makes the squad. He has won 3 Champions Leagues. How are Real Madrid doing now he's gone? I think that he comes in at least as or Ancelotti comes in as a steadying influence. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's about a rebuilding project. We've got a very aged squad. We've got to move on because I want people to get involved. Send your emails, send your texts, send your tweets, actually, to the Redcast. We've got the homecoming. If I had some music, I'd play it now. The man with the underpants, one of the greatest players that's ever played for Manchester United, somebody for whom, to whom we are eternally grateful, has gone to join the old lady. But these are difficult times for Ronaldo.
It is very difficult times. And, you know, we can't really speak too much about it because there's a...
Well, it doesn't really affect us here. I think that the thing that really works against him, I suppose... is that you and me and most lay people think that when you have clauses, confidentiality and the like, what are you trying to protect? Yeah. Now, I suppose his lawyers would say his image. But, you know, for ordinary folk, it sounds like, you know, are you trying to hide something?
Well, at time of recording the podcast, he's actually had a press conference tonight, Ronaldo, pre the game tomorrow, and he said that his conscience is clear. He's conscious. He's good on the pitch and off, and he's got, you know, he thinks his conscience is clear, and it will go away. But yeah, it puts a stain on someone. I mean, whether it comes that nothing comes of this or not, this is always going to sit on him now.
He's one of only a few people who've got lifetime image rights. Mm. So for the rest of his life, worth up to £1 billion. Yeah. With Nike, I believe. So and they're concerned, they say.
Yeah.
But in terms of what he's been doing on the pitch, I mean, he's every bit as effective, isn't he? He's changed the way, but he doesn't
change the way he's played.
He's charging up and down.
Scored on the weekend for and became the highest league goal scorer in the whole of Europe. Mm. Incredible player and drive and determination to always better himself at his age now, still to. And he could have taken an easy route. He could have
stayed where he was.
He could have gone to America, the Far East, where he's doing well in America at the moment. DC United took him from bottom into playoffs. Great.
Yeah.
But this guy went to a proper big club in Italy to try to win the Champions League for that
team. And it's a massive investment, up to $250 million. You talk about the wages, the amount they paid, a massive investment. So that case needs to do something.
Yeah, it needs to come out on his side, otherwise it's going to be more than him that loses.
And there needs to be a positive result. I mean, they're coming, they did a job on Tottenham last year, if my memory serves me right. Tottenham in the lead right up to it, and then they kind of just kind of bullied them out a bit.
Yeah.
And they're a better team this year than last year.
I tell you what, like, I mean, we'll talk about the past. I mean, even in our pomp under Ferguson, I'll be worried about them coming to Old Trafford tomorrow. I'd really fear for what could happen. What happened in the second half against Chelsea, the swashbuckling football will disappear again, and it will be that pragmatic, boring,
let's not
nil-nil rubbish. I'm sorry, I just don't see us doing particularly well. Like, I just can't. I'm kind of over it, because I'm at such a point now where when you watch Manchester United play, whether on TV or live, which I have watched it live, it's boring to watch. It really is. And you know what's going to happen before a bloody ball's kicked. You know it's going to be either 0-0 at half time. Yeah. But it's going to be a tough one tomorrow evening. I wouldn't like to say we could win the game over two legs. I'd be surprised if we did. We could beat them over two legs, you know, within the group stage.
And that's terrible, because they're the kind of, I've always seen them as the kind of people, you got to have a good game against them.
Yeah.
And people like Atletico Madrid, because you've got the very top with your Barcelonas, your Bayern Munichs, your Real Madrids. And then under that, you've got the United.
Because they always constantly go to the semi-finals. They're that kind of team.
You've got to beat them. You've got to be able. And what you're suggesting, and what I agree with, is that I can't even see us competing with them.
No.
It doesn't bode well. Nevertheless, let's go to, you mentioned Rooney.
Yeah.
The boy started, as did the boy who scored the goal against us, Chelsea on Saturday, Barkley. Started at Everton. At a good academy there, used to feed us a few players. And when they got old, I think we sent them, like Phil Neville and the others, we sent them back.
Sent a few bits back there.
They've got better, but, you know, under Coleman, they spent all that money and they never quite. Basically, they never replaced Lukaku. They don't
have a goal scorer. I mean, I'll probably live to regret that. But they don't have that goal scorer. They got rid of him and they never replaced him. I think they're going through this situation where they're changing ownership. They've got a guy who's got a lot of money. And I think they're wasting a lot of money on a lot of different players. They got a manager in now that I think is a good manager, but also he could be the kind of manager that he gets flirted with by a bigger club, he's suddenly gone. But you know, it's a big game again, because they're a better team than what they were, but they're inconsistent.
We're supposed to beat them.
Yeah, we have to beat them. I mean, if we had beaten Chelsea on Sunday, that would have been such an amazing result.
But it's still an amazing result.
Yeah, because we never win there. We never
remember Liverpool just about drew with a magic goal from Sturridge. Yeah. So, you know, it puts us in a good place.
Yeah. You seem really depressed. I haven't been on here for a while, but you seem like you're over this.
I am.
What's the end game for you? I mean, I know we're talking about the Everton game, but like, what is that going to happen within this? I mean, do you think if we lose a couple of more games, he's going to?
I think if you're supporting Man City, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, you want Mourinho to stay.
Yeah. Can I ask you this? Because what makes
you want Mourinho to stay?
Because it's just a circus. But
did you see the video with him and Pogba? Have you ever seen any video with any player and any manager like that in your life?
But I would also say, I would guarantee that kind of rubbish goes on a football training pitch every day. But
I've
why
never
are the cameras
seen it.
There?
I've never seen it.
Yeah, but can I also say this as well? Like, what is happening with our club, I think it's rotten from top to bottom, yeah, really. What is the situation where we lose a manager? Well, a manager retires after a very long time, by the way. And by the way, you can go back onto United Redcast archives and you can listen to us babbling on for many years. And I said many years ago that if they didn't manage
the transition
period correct, it would end up what happened after Busby retired, and it could be 25 years. We're at 5 years already. Hold this space, because I really don't think we can win it for another five.
We won the Europa Cup.
Yeah, but I'm talking about league. Also,
how many years since Liverpool have won? When did Tottenham last win?
Yeah, but you're turning that argument on me. What I said earlier.
I know, because I think that. I don't like Marino, but I think we've got good players. I think the spine of the team is absolutely fantastic. It's Marino.
Ed, my question is, how comes Chelsea can sack managers every couple of seasons but still come out and look like they could win the league again? How comes Arsenal have had Wenger for all that time, and they get rid of him and they've got this guy come in and he seems to have been able to change the way, you know, they've won like 10 games on the spin? But with us...
The truth is, we sacked Moyes too early, and Woodward wasn't experienced enough to be able. So we got used by a lot of players to get their contracts increased at their parent club, and so the best thing we could come up with was Fellaini, and we did not invest the time, care, and energy in Moyes to mean that it was justified. I don't think, because you've got to give him a year and a bit, and we gave him, what, 7 months?
I don't know, he made mistakes as well.
Yeah, like, but who hasn't made mistakes?
I think they should never have let Gil and Ferguson go at the same time, but they would jump.
There should have been a transition, shouldn't there?
Yeah, it's just, it's not great. Can I just say, though, we're talking about Fellaini. I think the best signing United have made in the last 5 years is Wan-Mata. I mean, he played the other day against Chelsea. I think he's been great. I think he's been one of the success stories.
Better than Matic?
Yeah, I think so.
Better than De Gea?
Well, but De Gea was signed before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking like, you know, from that point.
Who's out of all the players that were signed by Jose Mourinho, who's done best?
Oh, goodness me.
That's the point that I'm making to you.
That's
now.
The problem.
Why am I giving him money?
Yeah.
Show me. I've given you money before. Yeah, yeah. What have you bought? Who have you bought? Why am I going to give you more money? No.
I mean, you've got Bailly sitting on the bench, who I think is actually the best defender.
Well, he used to be. Something's happened to him.
Inconsistency and also being told that you're not good enough. I think that's a lot to do with it.
There you go. Sometimes you need an arm around a shoulder.
Well, not everyone's the same, you know that. You're a big man on campus, aren't you? You've got to put your arm around someone and you've got to stick up there.
Somebody's got to get the carrot. Some get the carrot, some get the stick.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can get anything you like, darling, because
I like both.
I love you. Yeah,
at the same time.
Apparently. How's that wedding going, by the way, the marriage going?
I told you, that's dodgy. Don't say my arm's hurting again already.
Yeah, you got to turn over and sleep on the other one. Then it feels like somebody else is doing it. Listen, tough times against Juventus, but we need to pull out a victory against Everton. Call it for me, Dave.
Juventus, tomorrow, I'd be surprised if we'd be lucky to get a draw, 1-1. Everton, again, if we're lucky, 2-1, I'll say that, because I won't bet against us, but 2-1, but 0-0 at half-time. It's depressing. Sorry, everyone.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take you down with me, Dave. Lovely to have you back, mate.
It's great to be back.
Don't be a stranger. Congratulations on the wedding. God bless you, mate. Dave Collins, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll be back here next time with the Manchester United Redcast. Look after yourself. Stay in touch. Tell us what you think. You want to argue? That's fine. It's okay.
Cheer up. It's all right.
Okay, until next time. Come on, you Reds.
Come on, United, please.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.